mentioned before the beginning of the Mass that this Mass is a votive Mass in honor of Saint Joseph. And the reason why I wanted to offer this Mass is partly because in this year of Saint Joseph, now that we have celebrated the two liturgical feast days, one in March, one in May, after that, there's not much more mention of Joseph. But in the first reading for the past several days, we have been reading from the Old Testament story of Joseph. And so I thought it's good for us to reflect once again on Joseph, spouse of Mary, in light of what we learn from Joseph, son of Jacob. Of course, they're two different men. Some of the scholars say they just happen to have the same name. But the saints recognize some similarities, in fact, a lot of similarities between Joseph the patriarch and Joseph, spouse of Mary, Joseph, protector of the unwed. So that's what I'd like to reflect on. Maybe I won't be able to do it very well, since I was rushed out this morning. Today's the birthday of our parish priest, Father Santi, so I was able to join the morning Mass with Father Santi and the priests and the parish. And today's his 60th birthday, so he's our Joseph in this parish, taking care of the church. Okay, but my thoughts might be a little scattered, but this is what I have in mind. Saint Joseph, one of the titles of Saint Joseph that I hadn't heard before this year was Joseph, Savior of the Savior. I remember when I first saw it, I said, well, that's an interesting one, Savior of the Savior. It refers to Joseph rescuing Jesus and Mary from the evil intentions of Herod. And when Jesus was only an infant, they fled to Egypt, remember? So Joseph saved Jesus in a way that no one else could be considered the Savior of Jesus. And Jesus is the Savior of us all, including of Saint Joseph. But Joseph had this role of rescuing, saving Jesus. Joseph, we know, is a man who gains insight through dreams. Joseph, we honor as most chaste. Joseph, we honor as a just man. Joseph, we honor as a man of faith. Well, all of these qualities are in Joseph from the Old Testament. As I said, we've been reading from the Joseph cycle for, I think this is the fourth day now, and today's reading is the conclusion of the story of Joseph. In fact, it's our last reading from the book of Genesis for this time. So we have seen that Joseph is a man who's he's an interpreter of dreams, he's a chaste man, he's a just man, and when it comes to the experience of his father and his brothers, he's also their savior. So he's a savior of the 12 tribes, savior of the people of God, because God gave him this special role in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. It was Joseph who was distributing the food in the time of famine. So Joseph, Savior of the Savior, that is Joseph, the husband of Mary, rescues Jesus in Egypt. Joseph in the Old Testament rescues his family in Egypt. There's a certain parallel there. The other thing that stands out in today's reading about Joseph is his ability to see what God is doing, even when it looks like God's purposes are defeated by the evil of men. So Joseph, who was treated very cruelly by his brothers, who was betrayed by them, sold into slavery, can see, especially once things have unfolded over the years, he could see that God was working out his own plan for the salvation of the family in a way that no one could have thought of. Not Joseph, not Jacob, not none of the sons of Jacob. No one could have thought that this evil could bear good fruit. It's something that we can only see with eyes of faith. Because with faith, we can see the goodness of God operating in a hidden way behind the circumstances of life and even behind the evil choices of men. This is how far faith extends, how far the vision that comes with faith extends. It's possible to see God's goodness even when men are evil. And the key line of today's reading in light of this is this one. Joseph's brothers, who don't have much faith, and who haven't made much progress in knowing the ways of God, they are afraid that Joseph is going to take revenge on them. Once their father dies, this is his opportunity to take revenge. So, because they are connivers, they're deceivers, they come up with this story that the father made them, or left a message for Joseph not to harm his brothers after Jacob died. So that's their misreading of the situation, both of their misreading of God and their misreading of their brother. But as I say, the key line here is his response to his brothers after they say, please, don't take revenge on us. In fact, they even pleaded, just let us be your slaves. This is what he says. Have no fear. Have no fear. You'll notice that was repeated many times in today's gospel. Have no fear. Can I take the place of God? Even though you meant harm to me, God meant it for good, to achieve his present end, the survival of many people. So this is very striking. You meant harm to me. It's not that they just made a mistake or they didn't know what they were doing. They were ignorant or just weak. No, they meant harm. They decided deliberately on evil. Though you meant harm, God meant it for good. It's amazing to see that God's will, without violating the freedom of people, it still overrides their evil with the goodness of his will. Their will was evil. God's will was good. Well, who wins? God wins. And this is what Joseph can see. Can I take the place of God? No. God is the one who's in charge. So don't be afraid of me, and don't be afraid of anything. Now, this perspective is, I think, something that St. Joseph can also help us gain. St. Joseph is a man of faith. He's a man who trusts the goodness of God, even when it looks like things are going wrong. And we know from his story that he had experiences of a severe contradiction. Some of them stand out right away, right? Learning about the pregnancy of his wife, learning about the evil intentions of Herod, and then the loss of Jesus in the temple when he was 12 years old. These three come to mind right away, where Joseph would have experienced a contradiction, as if God was doing something against him. But he never concluded that. He listened to God and viewed these circumstances with eyes of faith. Have no fear. Can I take the place of God? Even though you meant it that harm to me, God meant it for good. So the Joseph of the Old Testament and the Joseph of the New Testament are telling us not to have any fear because of the goodness of God. That leads us to today's gospel, where Jesus is telling the apostles once again, not to have fear. He's sending them out, remember, as missionaries. He's sending them out into a hostile world. He's sending them out as sheep among wolves. And yet he says, don't be afraid. It says it again and again in today's gospel. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body. That's the very thing that people are afraid of. People are afraid of suffering, and people are being killed, and are being persecuted, and being rejected. So don't be afraid of them. The one who we could reasonably be afraid of is the one who can kill or destroy both body and soul. That's God. He's the one who can really destroy us. But he's the one who's on our side. So, and this is why Jesus says that not even a sparrow falls without the Father knowing. Not even one hair on our heads has been neglected by God. So there's nothing to fear because God is on our side. As St. Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Even though there are people who are against us. There are. There are people with evil intentions. Most people are not. Most people are not really that bad. I mean, they're not out to get us. They might be selfish, or they might be inconsiderate, and they might forget us. There are not that many people who are really out to harm us, but there are some. But even if there are, if God is for us, who can be against us? What harm can be done to us if we are under the protection of the Lord? Well, this is what St. Joseph wants us to know, that we are under the protection of the Lord. He's protector of the church. We honor him as protector of the Anuim, but he represents the protection that comes from God. So as we honor him, we also open ourselves to this lesson, this vision of faith. Even if someone means harm to us, God means it for good. And God's will is never defeated by the will of man. God's will for our good, for our happiness, our eternal happiness, never changes. So with that positive message, a great grateful message, we rejoice. We rejoice with Joseph. We rejoice with the psalm, "Be glad, you lowly ones, you Anuim, be glad with Joseph. May your hearts be glad." Our hearts are glad because of the goodness of God.